the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ accompanying the preaching and hearing of his word. I begin with a slight apology. I studied the pericopes appointed for this day, the call service particularly, keeping the men who will be going out into the church in mind, and read both the Gospel and the Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah. The message is essentially the same. What you hear in secret, proclaim openly, and don't expect to be paid for it. Nevertheless, do it trustingly. And the more I read these, the more I was struck by the message as it is proclaimed, particularly in the 37th chapter of Jeremiah. And particularly these words, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. One could not apply to those times the opening words of the Tale of Two Cities, which was the best of times and it was the worst of times. One could only say it was the worst of times. Judah was in bad shape. Babylonia had come in, and Nebuchadnezzar had appointed Zedekiah as king of Judah. And very appropriately, we point out the terrible condition. We're told that neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord. That reminds us that we have that condition existing in many places and even in our churches today. In my distress, I applied to the Lord. Well, hardly. I am struck by the terror of my sins. Hardly that. They did ask Jeremiah to pray for them. And essentially saying, Jeremiah, go and tell the Lord what to do for us. Don't ask him, tell him. What happened then? Egypt moved her armies up into the Judean area, and Babylon had to back off. It looked like salvation had come. But the Lord told Jeremiah that Egypt would not stay. She would withdraw her forces. That Babylon would renew the siege and ultimately sack and totally burn the city. There was no doubt about it. It was bad news. Jeremiah, while the Egyptians were there, managed to get away. He went to the land of the Benjamites and was caught entering and was accused of desertion, beaten, and imprisoned. Zedekiah finally sent for him. He said, I better listen to this prophet. And it was then that he said, do you have any word from the Lord? Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yes, there is. And he proceeded to tell him that you will be delivered into the hands of Babylon. Do not listen to the false prophets who have told you what you wanted to hear, that Babylon would not destroy Judah and deport her. Is there any word from the Lord? And the answer is there is. And the message here, I think, is twofold. God speaks. There is for all time and for our day too a word from the Lord. And it comes to you and me and to us as preachers of the word, not directly as it did to Jeremiah. Jeremiah had direct conversation with God and revealed it, and wrote down his revelation. Now we have the prophetic and apostolic scriptures, the apostolic writings, which reflect also the teachings and the word of the greatest prophet of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who is in daily converse with his Father, and who is under the power of the Holy Spirit, and is able to teach us. But the content is essentially the same. We summarize it by saying we preach law and gospel. That sounds easy until you read Walker's the proper distinction between law and gospel and realize how difficult this is. There is the constant temptation in the ministry to be as the false prophet to whom Zedekiah listened again and again because they told him what he wanted to hear. Babylon will not destroy you. You will come out of this okay. And as Jeremiah told him, where are your prophets now who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you and against this land. They were lying prophets who refused to speak the law and clearly see what almost anyone who is a politician could understand, that either Egypt or Babylon was going to destroy them, and it was a toss-up. Jeremiah heard that Babylon was. And the good news, likewise, is sometimes difficult, because as we proceed into the ministry, we are not to assume that everybody is eager to hear the gospel. We understand that the way to get rid of our feeling of guilt very often is to use the psychological mechanism. Instead of being called to repentance and admitting the things that we just admitted very openly in those Christian questions and answers, people tend to blame others. We all do that. It's part of our sinful nature to project our faults upon others, to rationalize and say, well, God, if you made me this way, I couldn't help it. It all started, as you know, in the Garden of Eden, when God called Adam to account, and first of all, he blamed the woman, and that's an ancient story that goes on today, the woman, and then he blamed God, whom you gave to me. It's all your fault, God, if you hadn't given me this woman. And again, there is a word from the Lord, and the word, first of all, is law. You can't fool God. Although by our human nature, this is exactly what we try to do, to fool ourselves, to fool others, and it is not all that easy to call ourselves or others to repentance. But the gospel is the sweet message that God speaks and has spoken through his Son hanging on the cross and through his many words of comfort. Once you understand that you must admit your failings and your faults, that you have sinned against God, and the terrors of your sin come upon you, now the good word is you don't have to fool God. For our Lord Jesus Christ has borne our sins on the cross, and the good news is, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They shall be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Is there a word from the Lord? It is. But we must speak it, and speak it properly. And that's the second point. We are called, particularly as pastors and teachers in the church, to speak the word of the Lord. This means not only here at the seminary, but in all of our lives, that we must make sure that we speak God's word. There are many people around who would pretend to speak God's word, and you know what our Lord said of them. I am against the prophets, he said, who speak their words and say, he said. And the theological world and the world of the church is filled with people like that. They spin out of their own imaginations and for their own popularity that they would tell people. Jesus really was not God. He was a great man. Perhaps he did not rise. Perhaps he only set an example for us, and his blood does not indeed cleanse us from all sins. And on, make sure we speak God's word, for there is a double condemnation for those who pretend in the name of the Lord and with their vestments and in their pulpits, pretend to speak the word of God, and it is not the word of God. The point is, this is addressed particularly to you who will be leaving our confines here, where we can no longer require by grades and everything else to make you study the word. But you leave, particularly those who will be going out and not coming back, that you must leave with a determination to be lifelong students of the word. It is not all that easy. I have heard, unfortunately, pastors who say, I really haven't used my Greek or Hebrew, and it's a matter of joking to them. I haven't read a systematic textbook in years. I just sort of sit down on Saturday night and tell my people what they want to hear, and they always tell me nice sermon passages. I would lay this upon your heart, and upon all of us as we proclaim the word, that you must, first of all, be lifelong students of the word, because that's all you've got. If we want human ideas, human theories, to spin out of our own reason, There are plenty of others around who have written better textbooks than you shall write, and who perhaps speak more eloquently than you. But this is the heart and core of the ministry. The confessions call it what? Ministerium verbum Dei docendi. A ministry of teaching the word of God. That's sacramental prayer again, and administering the sacrament. We need to remember this. I don't know how many of you have looked at the stained glass windows and pitch glass and we sit there again and again and know what the letters are. If you begin at one end and move around what they say and what they read.